Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. How's the sound?
Sound check. Is it picking it up? Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order, 9th of March, 2026. With me today is Chairman Hoffman, Chairman Olson, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman, and Senator Cronk. Senator Kaufman is on the way, I guess. He is not here at the moment. On today's agenda, we're going to talk about education, major maintenance, kindergarten through 12th grade. and we are going to talk about some of the deferred maintenance issues across the state. And with that, I'd like to go ahead and call up a facilities manager, Michael Butterkoffer. Is that close? Yeah, come on up. We probably need the commissioner up here, too. She can come up. She's responsible. And Heather Hennekens, Director of Finance. And if we can put the commissioner in the middle. The buck stops with her. So we'll go ahead and go through the presentation. There's some information, I think, that's not going to be available today, that there will be some requests from the committee members on that subject matter. But we'll go through the presentation.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Dina Bishop, Commissioner of Education for the Department of Education and Early Development.
I'm Heather Hennekens, the Director of Finance and Support Services.
And I'm Michael Butterkoffer, the Facilities Manager.
Today we'll start with the department mission, vision, and purpose. Although school construction and major maintenance may not be thought of as part of a student's daily learning, it is an important part of their education. I'd like to focus on the purpose and deed's existence to provide resources to support an excellent education for every student every day. And this slide highlights the Alaska Education Challenge and the department's 5 shared strategic priorities. While these priorities focus on student learning and outcomes, it is important to recognize that students can only learn effectively in environments that are safe, functional, and well-maintained. School facilities play a critical role in supporting these priorities by providing the physical space where instruction occurs every day. Ensuring schools are safe, clean, and operational is therefore an important part of supporting an excellent education for every student.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you. I would totally agree with these education challenges. The question that I have probably for the commissioner, we are going over the list for major maintenance grant funds, and in order to accomplish many of these Alaska's education challenges, deferred maintenance needs to be addressed. Am I to assume, to meet these challenges, that we can expect a supplemental to address these needs?
Through the chairman to Senator Hoffman, at this time I don't have, I cannot speak to supplementals, but happy to engage in conversation and share what we have presented for you, and then discuss the budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just on that, I hate to get too far into the weeds, and if we get ahead of ourselves, just let us know for upcoming slides. But one of the news reporters did ask about a supplemental request from the superintendent there at Mount Edgecombe. And did you receive that, and are we going to have that forwarded to us for review?
Thank you, Chairman. In my hearing the other day in regard to Mount Edgecombe, I heard you loud and clear, and we have moved forward with the process.
So that answer is no?
Sir, I'm not the final determinant on supplementals, but I can share with you that I assess the needs at Mount Edgecombe and understand how much finances would be needed.
Okay, I understand that. So we can take that up with the OMB director?
Yes, sir.
But we are the appropriating committee and make those decisions. So that is not the, it makes it very difficult for the finance committee to do their job if we don't have the information, and clearly we understand the administration's role and their veto authority. We understand the constitutional parameters that we all operate under. So we'll continue this discussion when we work through this process here today. But go ahead and continue.
Thank you, sir.
During the 2010 legislative session, the legislature passed SB 237, which requires the department to provide an annual report on school construction and major maintenance funding. The first report was completed in 2013, covering school construction and major maintenance for fiscal year 2011. Since the first report period, the state has funded approximately $1.78 billion in school construction and major maintenance projects. For FY27, the state share of school construction projects requested is $443 million, and major maintenance projects is $401 million. On February 27th, the department submitted the 14th annual report. All school facility funding mechanisms are established in statute. There are currently four funding options used by the department. AS 1411-005 created the School Construction Fund in 1990 as an account for the in the general fund. Statute states the fund shall be used to make grants for the cost of school construction. In 1993, the Major Maintenance Grant Fund was established and defined in AS 1411-007 as an account in the general fund. Statute state this fund shall be used to make grants for the cost of school major maintenance. Regional Education Attendance Areas, or REAAs, and Small Municipal School District Fund was created in 2010 to supplement the primary school construction and major maintenance funding programs. These funds help support projects in REAA districts that generally do not have the ability to issue local bonds. The primary function of the fund is to fund school construction projects. The law provides for a calculation to determine annual funding. The calculation in law is based on the annual spending in the debt reimbursement program, divided by the percent of schools in city, boroughs, and multiplied by 24.4%. In FY27, the number of schools statewide is 425, and the number of schools in city or boroughs is 298. The final funding option is school debt reimbursement funding, and I'll provide more detail on the debt reimbursement program further in the slides. All of these funds are subject to legislative appropriation.
Okay. So before we go on there, Mount Edgecombe, I don't see it in the list here. It's not in the REAA group, so does the department integrate potential capital needs of Mount Edgecombe in the system, if you can help us with that?
Thank you, Chairman. Mount Edgecombe needs have been, as you know, appropriated and by yourselves as the Finance Committee, but also over the last 6 years that I've reviewed, they are directly placed into the Department of Transportation major maintenance.
Okay. So does the department have any responsibility, in your opinion, to keep the legislature informed of the capital needs of the maintenance requirements of Mount Edgecombe High School, even though it's wrapped up through the DOT statewide public buildings?
Thank you, Chairman. That's a great question. And absolutely, all of these funds are public funds and as well as public needs in a state of Alaska school.
So does the department feel that as the authority responsible of education of the state's children, any additional needs beyond what public facilities the DOT may feel of the responsibility of maintaining that school?
I'm not sure I understand, just in communication of needs or?
As the Commissioner of Education, does the Commissioner of Education have any additional responsibility when looking over the needs of that school to make sure that the legislature is informed of the maintenance requirements and or physical structure that may not be articulated by the Department of DOT when they compare all of the maintenance buildings and other state buildings?
Yes, it is our responsibility.
Thank you. Go ahead and continue.
The This is an example of a district that had a CIP application that was initially submitted in 2007 but took until 2025 to receive a score high enough to receive funding. The ranking of the project over the years ranged from number 20 to number 98, and in the year it was funded, it was ranked number 9 on the major maintenance list. This request was originally submitted as a roof replacement project, but when the project was funded, it was realized additional damage had occurred and a roof would not solve all the problems with the facility. The department worked with the district to make sure the project scope could maximize the funding and address the other issues needed to help keep the school operational. You can see a note from the 12-page appraisal report submitted with the 2025 CIP application included, which states, for the most part, the facility is in good shape for a roughly 30-year-old building. Some issues listed below. As you can see from the pictures, that statement might not be a true reflection of the state of this building. The CIP review committee must rely on the information provided by districts to evaluate all the projects. Without these pictures, it would have been difficult to realize the severity of existing damage. This facility has continued to deteriorate, and the district has now submitted an application for a school replacement, which is currently on the school construction list.
And where is it on the school construction list? And what school is it, please?
Through the chair, this project is the Jackie Agnetty Senior K through 12 school replacement in Sleep Mute, and it's number 3 on the school construction list.
Okay.
This second example shows, for the record, Heather Heineken, this second example shows a school renovation application that entered the process during the FY27 application period and has ranked high on the major maintenance list in its first evaluation. One of the main differences between these applications is the level of detail provided regarding facility conditions and deficiencies. In this case, the district completed a comprehensive condition survey consisting of more than 400 pages, which is a detailed assessment performed by industry professionals that evaluates building systems, code compliance, and overall facility condition. Districts can pay between $200,000 and $300,000 for consultants to create these successful applications with the hopes of ranking high on the list to qualify for funding. These costs are reimbursable when the project is approved for funding. Condition surveys can significantly strengthen an application because they clearly identify building deficiencies and provide documentation for the project scope. If a condition survey is not included in the application, the department will require it as part of the approved project. However, these surveys can be expensive, and not all districts have the financial capacity to fund them. Additionally, even with a condition survey, it is still possible for additional deficiencies to be discovered once construction begins, which can lead to additional funding requests. In recent years, some of the highest-ranked projects are those that districts have already completed using their own funds and are submitted as reimbursement requests allowable through AS 1411-017. This can create disparity between districts that have the financial capacity to advance projects themselves and those that must wait for the state funding before addressing facility needs.
And the school here, could you list where the school is? And then please pull your mic up a little bit. Don't be shy. We won't bite you.
For the record, Michael Butikofer, through the chair, this project is on the major maintenance list. And it is number 2, Galena City, Sydney C. Huntington Elementary and High School's renovation.
And how long has this been on the major maintenance list? How many years?
This is the first year the school district has applied for this project.
Okay. And do you know how many years, I think you repeated that, the previous one was the Aleutian Eastboro. Is that correct? That's number 3 on the list?
No, that the Cusbuck School District.
Number 3 on the list?
Number 3 on the school construction list.
On the construction list, okay. Not the major maintenance list.
For the record, Heather Heineken, the original project, the roof project that the pictures were from, started in 2007 and was funded in 2025.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. understanding that we had Sleep Mute on the major maintenance list, and that was deemed too large of a project, so it was brought forward by the department to the capital construction list. It would seem to me that the Sydney Huntington Elementary and High School, with a magnitude of $36.5 million, is substantial and drowns out the efforts and the intent of major maintenance. From my criteria, being here for many years, and if it stays on the major maintenance list, millions of projects are going to be bumped because of a determination by the Department of Education to put a school that is 36. I've never seen a major maintenance project at $36 million. Maybe the department made a mistake when it took Sleep Mute off the list, because if you look at the condition of the Sleep Mute school, we can go out there, you know, and take a look at Edgecombe and Galena and see which one is in worse condition. If that's what the department doesn't, maybe they can justify why Sleep Mute was taken off the list and Galena was placed on, continues to be on the of the major maintenance list, and shows up for the first time, drowning out probably 17 other projects because of the because if we don't address the 17 other schools, you're going to see them go the wayside of Sleep Mute. We can't afford this. Who is making these decisions? What kind of decision-making process am I looking at the department? Not to mention that we don't even see the funding request for these, let alone the decision-making of the department. I'm wondering who can answer that question for me.
Through the chairman to Senator Hoffman, you have a commissioner that agrees with you. And I'm going to share a story. And the reason that it's difficult is because we have so many districts with a stake in the game, and some are winners and some are losers, so to speak, in regard to that list. That list is set in a committee, sets an application process for ranking. And I can share that senators in front of me have different groups that you represent in your different areas. And so I'm not, you know, rooting for one and not the other. I'm just sharing that there is, I would personally say, a flaw in the system in the ranking that we are trying to fix. But that ranking is in statute and regulation. And any time that you move forward to try to make a change, someone is not happy with that change. And I can tell you how I noticed it. I was a large school district superintendent. And then I retired and I took a year off, and then I came back. And I noticed when I had to approve the CIP list that there were some projects on that list that I had seen funded through a bond. I was like, why are these on the list? The application process, and we are working on it to make changes. It just takes time to get everyone to agree, because, again, there's people who feel that who are going to be upset if they're not at the top of the list. But it does what was just stated. Points are given for the design. And if you, and the design and the construction and how far you are, and if you have funding, if you have cash flow in a district to do that, then you're going to score higher because of the fact that you have more information to make a solid determination so that we don't have a Sleep Mute. Because Sleep Mute, their original you know, when you look at it, their original ask would not have covered a 30-year school isn't really that old to have that damage, but it had, to your point, sir, not had major maintenance investments into it. We are looking at a ranking system that wasn't designed by the people in front of you, but that the people in front of you use to be able to rank. And until that system is changed and points are given for perhaps buildings like Sleepmute that maybe don't have or find a way to have the ability to have one of these assessments done, we're gonna continue to get the same results that we've always received. And when I'm sharing that when we tried to adjust and look at this independently without changing that, I've received challenges from districts that we couldn't uphold. You have to change that system first. And regulation says it goes through the BRGR, which is the, can you share?
Bond reimbursement and grant review.
Bond reimbursement and grant review. And some of their, and this is experts out in the field that happen to live in some of these places that assist in the ranking process. And most likely at the time of that ranking process, there was lots of money and the rankings turned out well and we had bond debt reimbursement. So the schools that could go through bond debt weren't a part of that other, they didn't score higher on that CIP major maintenance. When bond debt went away for 10 years, then everyone, more schools could go and be ranked on that other list. So there's been quite a few reasons why schools like, schools that even perhaps had a finished project get reimbursed before a school that was in need. It did have to do with the scoring system that has been used over time. We've been working with the BRGR and subcommittees to come up with suggestions to change those point systems so that the schools visibly, as you shared, Senator, I see the same things you do, that you visibly see this is a higher need than this. But unless it shows up in the, unless there's a process through the paperwork to get that done, by law, legally, it's very difficult to put one over another or to really have discussions with districts, because once they make that top of the list, they're invested heavily due to the scarcity of resources. So you're not going to have an argument from this commissioner, and there is work underway with the subcommittees to change that, but I guarantee it's the department is going to most likely have to weigh in and not necessarily take all the recommendations of the BRGR in order to get it changed. And so, like, I'm not trying to make excuses, but the system isn't working, and there is efforts to change it, but the system works where you have the assessments. And when you have a district that doesn't have cash flow who can't get the assessments, they're going to struggle forever.
So I think it would be helpful, Madam Commissioner, if you gave us your personal ranking of these projects for consideration of this committee.
Sir, I would happy to do that. I can't do that presently because I would have to look back at the data. I am a data-driven person, and I could share that with you on those needs.
Right. I'd like you to do that. We follow the Constitution, statutes. We follow. Sometimes we rewrite them for a year in the operating budget for a life of 1 year. As an example, there's a statute on senior citizens' property tax reimbursement to the boroughs that we've never paid. Decade, I think maybe once, years and years and years ago. Every year we override that. We can certainly override these statutes here too, and the regulations. We have that ability. And that's unquestionable. What we try to do is have these lists made. In this example, we're dealing with deferred maintenance, but we have them in harbors and other areas. The department brings forward a list, and we try to follow the list to keep the politics off the table. And you just go down the list and fund it. But clearly there's an issue here where there's a lot of concern that we have smaller schools that have health and safety issues that aren't going to get addressed. And I would recommend that you seriously take a look at those issues and the sophistication of the school districts in their ability to put forward applications, and you bring forward a list of how you see it as the person responsible for education of all our children in the state and their health and safety at school. And that might help also going forward when we look at restructuring the formality of making the list. I think that would be beneficial. And I'm not saying we're going to follow your list or we're going to follow this list, because there's zero funding in the budget now for any of this maintenance. Zero, zero, zero. And we'll go through this process and try to figure out where there's support from the administration in total dollars and where there's support from the legislature, and try to bring those two bookends together for the betterment of the kids. And I'd also like on that list to know, along with this list, how many years they've been on the list. Keep an eye on that. And I recognize that you have the rankings, November 5th and, the current ones, but some of these go back a long, long ways. So let's go ahead and continue.
Heather Heineken, through the chair to Senator Hoffman, I would just like to clarify, and maybe I misunderstood, SleepMute did get funded eventually on the major maintenance list, and now it has come back with a new application. Okay. Here on slide 8, we actually bring up the Bond Reimbursement and Grant Review Committee, or many refer to it as the Burger Committee. In 1993, the legislature established the Bond Reimbursement and Grant Review Committee, commonly referred to as the Burger Committee, with AS 1411014. The committee consists of 9 members, including the commissioner or designee, 2 legislators, and 6 public members with expertise in school construction, facilities management, and public representation. The committee is responsible for developing and annually approving the CIP application and rating systems used by districts when applying for CIP funding. They're also responsible for recommending projects for funding that have been evaluated through the CIP review process, developing cost-effective construction criteria, and help set the standards for school energy efficiency to help minimize long-term operating costs. Michael Budekofer will now take us through the application, highlighting the criteria and evaluation process.
Next slide, please. So districts submit a capital improvement project or CIP application by September 1st each year to request funding for school construction or major maintenance. We rank projects statewide using criteria in AS 1411 and 4AAC 31 for eligible projects. Initial lists are released in November, and final lists are issued after appeals are resolved. Next slide, please. Districts may submit up to 10 CIP applications each year, and projects are scored using 520 points. 265 of those are formula-driven points, and 255 are evaluative points. Projects must fall within statutory categories in AS 1411013, including A, life safety issues, 4, unhoused students, C, protecting existing facilities, D, corrective code deficiencies, E, achieving operating cost savings, F, improving instructional programs, or G, other educational needs identified by the department. All projects can receive points in each basic scoring element, including preventative maintenance, narratives, reports, and expenditures, weighted average age, condition surveys, planning and design, cost estimates, options analysis, and alternative facilities. Next slide, please. Projects receiving points for specific conditions, including life safety or code deficiencies, operating cost savings, inadequacy of existing space, unhoused students, and type of space. And the next slide. Districts or projects may receive additional priority point bump points by district ranking or prior AS 1411 funding and emergency conditions, which can increase a project's overall score and improve its chance of funding.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Butikoffer, can you tell us what the district ranking is and how that works?
Okay, yes. I'm happy to explain further through the chair to Senator Keel. For district ranking, the highest priority application for each district receives 30 points, and then each application submitted after that initial priority receives 3 points less. So on the district 6-year plan, project number 1 would receive 30 points, project number 2, 27, project number 3, 25, and so forth.
Thank you.
Formula-driven scoring includes 11 elements totaling 265 points, calculated using information submitted in the CIP application and data routinely collected by the department. Next slide. Evaluative scoring includes 8 elements totaling 255 points and is scored by a 3-rater panel based on the information submitted in the CIP application.
For the record, this is Heather Heineken. On slide 17, we can see a breakdown of applications over the last 10 years. For FY27, 36 of 52 school districts submitted a total of 124 applications for the first year of the district's revised 6-year plans. 74 of the applications were scored, and the districts requested that 50 application scores be reused for the FY27 list. The department determined that 7 applications were ineligible, modified the category of 3 projects that resulted in a change of lists, and adjusted the budgets of approximately 32 projects under provisions of AS 1411. Next slide. We can see here the summary of grant awards for 2016 to 2026. In the governor's proposed budget, he has requested the statutory amount of $41 million for bond reimbursement and the full statutory amount of $19 million for the REAA fund. Next slide. Finally, we can see here the total number of projects submitted with their associated eligible state shares compared to the projects funded and the funding amount. In FY27, there were 14 construction applications with a state share of $423 million and 103 major maintenance projects with a state share of $400 million. Next slide. The school debt reimbursement program was established in statute to support municipal school districts that choose to fund school projects through local bonds. Under this program, the state reimburses a portion of the annual debt service associated with those bonds. Unlike the grant program, debt reimbursement projects are not ranked on a prioritized basis on need. Instead, eligible districts that issue bonds may apply to receive reimbursements according to the statutory requirements in AS 1411. Over time, the state reimbursement percentage has declined, ranging from 100% reimbursement in the early years to lower percentage in more recent years. In 2015, a moratorium was placed on debt reimbursement, and it recently ended on June 30, 2025. The current reimbursement rate of 50% for projects that meet the statutory project categories or needs and 40% for projects that do not. In 2025, the 34th Legislature partially funded the go back. In 2025, the 34th legislature partially funded the 2026 debt reimbursement payments with an amount not funded of $16.6 million. In FY27, the governor has requested the full statutory amount of $41.6 million. Next slide. This slide provides an overview of the total school construction bonds that are eligible for reimbursement. At this time, no new requests for debt reimbursement have been received by the department.
So we're not worked up and concerned about the debt reimbursement. We take a look at that when we do the budget as a necessity, pretty high, but we will give it a haircut if we have to on tight years. But we try to honor the agreement between us and the boroughs and the cities on debt reimbursement. So it's nice to have a brief overview of that. It's not the issue at hand. The issue at hand is deferred maintenance. I don't know if the administration is going to put any request in for the FY27 budget, but right now it's zero. There hasn't been any conversation and discussion. I'm hoping the department will come forward and with a dollar amount that they're comfortable with for FY27 to give some guidance. Clearly, we pay attention a lot to that. But I would also like on the deferred maintenance to have you reference this statute 1411.017D, which I think gives the commissioner the ability to have flexibility with that deferred maintenance list. And have the Department of Law review that for you, because I think you have a lot more authority to question that list that comes forward to your desk, because the buck stops at your desk before it stops at the governor's, of course. But I think you do have some ability to push back on if you think the criteria is imbalanced relative to particular school districts. And I think the committee would take your concern and advisement with a great amount of consideration, because you have the knowledge base that we don't. But to just fall back on a prescriptive analysis, we have some concern with that. We actually do have some faith in your management ability. And we'd like to see you exercise it as you see fit, and then, you know, bring us that list, and we'll work with you.
Thank you.
Can we go to slide 23?
Senator
Thiel. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we move off the topic of those rankings and the like, can you quantify a little bit more just how big a difference it makes? So you talked earlier about districts with the cash flow to bring advanced or developed projects carefully scoped. I tried to flip through the grant scoring criteria, and I am not a facilities person. Learned that pretty quick as I tried to understand what was in there. But when I looked, things like, you know, the difference between a 35% design and a bid-ready design, I think, could be 15 points, which is not everything, but it's 2% of the total points. Can you give us some sense of just how quantifiably, how big a difference does it make to have the cash to get a project ready? I mean, that can't be the only criterion where there's a difference, right?
For the record, this is Michael Butikofer, and through the chair to Senator Keel. For the projects that are designed at design development stage, which is 65%, they get 15 points, and then so they get an extra 5 points for that, and then they also get to around an additional 8 points for their cost estimates. So it does make quite a difference, and what that also gets a district is the ability to further develop the rest of their application, since the projects far along in design or already completed, so it does help significantly. It's more than just the points, it's also the rest of the application and how well developed that is. Does that make sense?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I can't remember exactly where I was looking, but there were ranges in there, so thanks for clearing up that how much that specific one is. Does the same dynamic apply in any of the other scoring elements? I mean, does this sort of permeate through the list of criteria?
It does. So again, as far as specific points go, there's two categories that having a completed project affects, and that's the level of design and the and then the cost estimate. But it does trickle through to the rest of the application because of how they can more thoroughly answer the questions in the application.
Thanks.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, can you update the committee and the listening audience on what's happening with education facility in Aniak, the current condition?
Thank you. Through Chairman to Senator Hoffman. At this point, I'm going to defer. I do know that we were working with them and FEMA, and that's in regard to the gym. Is that correct, the school with the gym? May I ask Director Heineken to share the details of that?
For the record, Heather Heineken. I'll share a bit, and then I'm actually going to have Michael share an update as well. We've been in contact. We immediately contacted the district upon learning of the situation of the gym, and we have currently they are working solely through insurance to get the situation managed. And I've also worked with the FEMA funding to help them process through that to help get on that application list if it qualifies. And FEMA they'll do an inspection and determine that. And Michael has more details on the facility itself.
And, sir, for the record, this is Dina Bishop, and the reason that we are working with FEMA is that that area, the wind was too high and the danger was too high for our folks to go in and do the initial assessments. So those assessments in that area are put off until the spring, until they have more safety. So it wasn't originally assessed at the beginning, and their maintenance person does believe that through those wind storms, that additional damage because of the state of the building is what led it to that final point. But it is going to be assessed with FEMA as well in the spring, but they did not do an initial assessment in any of those areas due to the wind.
For the record, Michael Butikofer. So I did speak with the district earlier this week or last week, and they have shored up the facility to keep it from collapsing and taking out the new school building and the existing school building. There's a wing on each side of that gymnasium. And so if the facility collapsed, they would not be able to use any of the facility for educational purposes as they are now. But they have confidence that it will make it through the rest of the winter, and then this summer they will demolish the gymnasium once they have a chance to get a contractor on board.
Thank you, Commissioner. If I might continue, the chairman outlined statutes that give you what I feel are additional authorities to assess and make recommendations on schools. Understanding your involvement in going to Sitka and touring the Edgecombe facility, do you think it would be beneficial for you to, before the list comes out for the top 5 or 10 schools, that you would travel to them to make your personal assessment before the list is made?
Thank you. Through the chairman to Senator Hoffman. Prior to this year, I did travel quite a bit, but $100,000 was removed from my travel with a disagreement that my office is in Anchorage. And so I've had limited travel this year to be able to go out to schools. But that was a priority for me when issues come up or even good things come up to be able to see rural Alaska. So I do believe it would be necessary, but due to the statutory requirement, the state board present to the Department of Education committees of the Senate and House, the finances that were left in my travel budget were provided to that group. So I'm a little short on cash flow myself for travel, sir, but I do believe that that would be beneficial. We do have experts in the field that we do have travel. Our engineer here, Michael, travels quite a bit. But again, to your point, he's not the commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I know the chairman of the operating budget, and I think I'll have a dialogue with him.
Senator Crump.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at some of these things on the list. Is there an assessment on what a school replacement would be? I'm seeing some of these really high costs. These are like 50-year-old schools, and we're going to drop $1.5 million, $2 million to fix something. I was just wondering if there's a replacement cost.
Through the chairman to Senator Cronk, we have also thought about that, and that leads us to another issue, and I want to share that schools, and I do believe that schools are part of their communities. That was evident with Typhoon Halong. It saved lives having a safe facility. What's happened out there with some of those is the district, we do suggest being rebuilt, but here's the quagmire we're in. Many of these schools 50 years ago were built for 100 students. If they were to rebuild today, they might rebuild for 20 students. Hence, they're getting a lot smaller building, and sometimes the communities and the districts would prefer to just do major maintenance on the square footage that they have, that they were receiving 50 years ago, because the statute is built off of space per student. And so the needs of a general community are actually in conflict with our statutes about schools. And I just, if I may have the pleasure to speak personally, that our schools are more than just to house the education. In many of our communities, as we have seen, they are community assets for safety and well-being. I believe that our emergency systems would agree. However, with what we're dealing with, they would prefer to have major maintenance off of a lot larger building for which they were originally built than to have a new building built, even though it's cheaper, because their square footage would be smaller according to the statute.
Okay. So let's back up a little bit, because I think we're pretty much done. This is the slide you've been almost looking for. There's a couple beyond it that I think that deal with maintenance. But back to dealing with the list, I think it'd be beneficial, as we expressed, for commissioner to go ahead and make her own list. We actually have a lot of faith in the commissioner, by the way, so don't misunderstand some of the questions today. When we recognize that there's you have a boss, put it that way, above you have to deal with, an OMB you have to deal with. But when we take a look at this, your recommendations, or how you see the school's maintenance list, we'd also like Edgecombe included. If you want to do it on a separate piece of paper, because it's not in REAA, we understand that that's fine. But give us your capital needs. And we're not done going through the previous appropriations and sorting that out. I don't think there's going to be a regression back to that. We're thankful that you stepped in when you realized what was going on at Mount Edgecombe. Went down there personally, you know, took a look at it and said this is totally unacceptable, and started taking immediate action to remedy it. That doesn't go unnoticed, and it's appreciated. So, you know, we'll finish our review of those past appropriations. But I'm really concerned about from today going forward. and the potential need for operating funds and the small amounts to give the superintendent the ability and flexibility for when he sees immediate needs on small stuff, he could deal with it. And then in the operating budget itself for Mount Edgecombe, when the operating budget's presented to the chairman, that we take a good look at what it takes to actually run the school under your recommendations in an efficient manner and safe, and what adjustments need to be made. So we've got kind of the short-term operating emergency needs or flexibility, and then going forward in 27. And I'd like to also see in that submission what you think the flexible funds should be given to the superintendent with your approval, I would imagine. You know, there's got to be some supervision. So when there's an emergency need, he can deal with it. And then on the capital side, I don't really care what DOT thinks, quite frankly. I don't like, my personal opinion, I don't like that setup with DOT or Mount Edgecombe being lost in the abyss of all the other state buildings. I'd like to see your opinion on the department's opinion on the maintenance position of that school and the buildings, and a forward look at how you think it should be addressed, regardless of the funding amounts. We may or may not have the funds to do it, but the committee here cannot operate in the dark. We need to know how bad or how good things are, and if they're really ugly and we don't have any money, that's just the way it is. But you know, we can't function and do our job without the input from the department. And regardless of what we may think and what we may want to put in a budget, we recognize that your boss has the ability to veto any appropriations out that we add. But what we want to do is work with the department and the administration to come up with mutually agreed upon targets and maintenance. And I'm hoping that the OMB director will come forward with recommendations from her boss, the governor, on what they would like to see, the administration would like to see in deferred maintenance. And we most likely would be very agreeable, because there's lots of needs around the state. And we recognize that if we put a lot more funds forward than is acceptable, they just get vetoed and other needs remain unaddressed. But we need to have that maintenance structure. And I don't frankly care how ugly it is. I don't expect it to be a rosy report. And then we can deal with it. And when we look at the short-term capital needs, depending on how you want to split it between operating, would include things like vacuum cleaners and washers and dryers. And, you know, if we get into the galley, you know, to make sure the galley's up to snuff, just tell us, because I think you want to get there also. And I firmly believe that you're not an impetus to block the ability of that school to go forward. There might be other headwinds that we have to deal with, but I don't think it's the department. So if you could help us with all that, it would be very beneficial. And I think, and I'll talk with the other committee members, there's highly likelihood that they would want to have a hearing just on Edgecombe, on the operating and the capital and the condition of the school, so we can get it back up to full enrollment, which I think is the goal. And I think it's one of the top high schools maybe in the country. We'd like it to again be viewed in that light.
It's our goal.
I just thought I'd mention that, because sometimes these meetings, when people around the state look at them and they see a contentious meeting and disagreements, they draw conclusions that could be off, that these are just some of the difficult issues we have to face collectively, as our roles are different.
Thank you, sir. Agreed.
Okay, so we'll go on and take a look at some of the corroded pipes and paint cracking on the next slide.
All right, next slide. So there was a request for pictures to demonstrate the conditions of the schools in Alaska. I've included a few pictures on this slide and the next one from the most recent applications. Pictures do speak 1,000 words, and without them, it can be difficult for the department to really grasp the conditions of our school. And then each picture has a description that was included on the application. So the first picture there is a broken water pipe that is a project that's currently on the major maintenance list. The second picture is a siding, the condition of a siding at the foundation for a project that's currently on school construction list. The same facility is in the next picture, the multi-purpose room, a project currently on the school construction list. And the last picture of the door is the same project that's on the major maintenance list, the first picture that's an existing door with loose hinges. So two different projects. The outer two are a major maintenance list projects, and the inner two are a school construction projects. Next slide, please. And then this is the boys' restroom, and that's a project currently on the school construction list, which is the same school as the hallway and the on the previous slide, the gymnasium. So that's the condition of their hallway. And then that last one is a completely different project, and that's their kitchen showing their sink, their walk-in freezer, upright refrigerator, and that's they want to renovate that kitchen. It's a major maintenance list project. And that's our contact information.
The next slide. That's the one you've been looking for since you sat down. And I don't blame you, because it's kind of a tough subject matter. We have any Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You're well aware that the Senate Finance Committee went to Mount Edgecombe to view its conditions, and I think as a result of that meeting, school construction, major maintenance, and school funding have all bubbled to the top in this session. Back in 2010, I submitted a bill, Senate Bill 2237, that was introduced by the Senate Finance Committee. And I think that the state has made much headway in regards to school capital project funding in rural areas of the state. And to some extent, later on, we added major maintenance. But I think that all three of those areas need to get refocused by the legislature. We have our major schools such as Anchorage facing a $90 million deficit, other schools facing major deficits. The lists continue to grow for school construction and major maintenance. So an evaluation needs to be done by, I believe, by the administration and by the legislature. Even though the whole state is having a problem balancing its checkbook, at the top of the list is education. You're the commissioner. And somehow we need to at least start someplace and on funding, and I believe that should start with education on all fronts.
Senator Hoffman, who was chair of the capital budget in 2010?
I don't know. He was a little senator from maybe newly elected or a few years under his belt from Sitka. What was his name? He had some hair and stuff.
Yeah, looked a little younger then. I think Senator Olson was here also. He looked a little better too in 2010. And I think Senator Keel was a committee aide then, if I remember correctly. And
I sat over there.
Yeah. So some of us have been around just for several years. some experience here with the subject, but we want to work with the department to rectify the situation. I think it's something that'd be nice. It wasn't even in the press, wasn't even highlighted issue, but it is. So we got to, you know, we're going to deal with it, and we'll work with you on the upcoming schedule for the, you know, when you bring in your recommended list, and we can go over the authorities and all that to make sure everybody in the building understands how it works. And then we'll take a look at recommendations from the department at Edgecom, regardless of funding amounts. That's a whole other subject. Just extremely critical that we know what they are. And then we can argue with the governor over what is or is not funded. That's a whole separate subject matter. And he may agree to a lot of it and maybe doesn't agree to some points, but we'll work those out. We have any other comments or from the commissioner and how she's enjoying her job or is it fun it is? Did you know what you were signing up for?
I didn't. Well, it's good. Good to serve the people of Alaska and the young people especially.
And I do really appreciate your assistance and quick response when it came to your attention what was going on at Edgecom, because things would be worse if you didn't respond in that manner. So it is appreciated. Okay, with that, that'll take care of this morning's meeting. This afternoon, 1:30, House Bill 78, defined benefit option for replacement of the retirement system. We're going to have invited testimony. Equitable Institute is going to talk to the committee. They are a nonpartisan outfit that looks across the entire country on all kinds of different public pension plans. So that'll be interesting. And then ICER from the University of Alaska is going to talk to us about employee retention and other things. So that'll be at 1:30 today. We are adjourned at 10:08 a.m. We are adjourned.